We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, filling in for Alex. Alex Jones Show. On this Sunday, February 9th, 2014. We're live, and Alex is going to be joining us live later in the show with comments about what is going on with the new offensive on gun control. We have a mayor who has now gotten out of Bloomberg's group and blown the whistle on them. This is devastating news. You know, sometimes we get tired of hearing the same stories we think over and over again. We get tired of fighting this fight against the same people, trying the same tactics. They continue to lie about what their agenda is. But we had a mayor of Poughkeepsie, New York, come out this week and talk about why he and 50 other mayors left Bloomberg's gun control group. Now, although 50 mayors may have left, we do have one mayor who signed up. Actually, we got two mayors. We got the new mayor of New York and the mayor of Boston, both signed on to the confiscation group, the group of mayors against, quote, illegal guns. This is the Boston of mayor, mayor of Boston statement today. He's now talking about doing a gun buyback in Boston. They had an accidental shooting of a 9-year-old by his brother. And in response to that, they want to take all the guns in Boston, try to get people to sell them in. They're going to offer them an incentive to buy them back. They're not going to do confiscation just yet, but listen to the way he talked about this. He said, we need help from the community. We need help from these people to let us know where these guns are. Who has these guns so we can get them off the street? So it's not just a buyback. That's the way they're putting this out there. They want registration. They want informants. Tell us who's got these guns so we can get them off of the street. They want to have registration. They want to have informants because that's what comes before confiscation. We've seen this with the SAFE Act in New York. We see that the new mayor of New York has now signed on to the Bloomberg group. He wasted no time in getting in that. This is something that just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. But we had one mayor who pushed out against that. And Kit Daniels reported on this on Friday. He told us what this mayor said. He broke this down for us. We've seen this happening over and over again. We're going to give you some historical context for this. We're going to show you some new information, and we're going to show you an amazing story that's out of Texas, that's out of Beaumont, Texas, that really illustrates that things are out of control. We've got people in Texas getting arrested because they're standing in front of their gun shop with an AR-47 slung over his shoulder, a guy dressed up in a banana suit. And he's got an AK-47 slung over his shoulder with a sign pointing to the gun shop. And it's an unloaded gun. He's got it slung with a barrel pointed down. And the police come by and arrest this 18-year-old kid who's simply pointing out that this is a gun store here. It's a new gun store. And it's interesting because this gun store changed locations. They were in a mall. And they got people who were afraid of them in the mall called the police on the gun owner one day when he walked in, which is perfectly legal here in Texas to have an AK-47 strapped over your shoulder. It's not legal right now to open carry a handgun, but you can take a long gun and you can open carry a long gun. And that's what he was doing, walking into his gun store. And some people said, we're afraid. And so they called the police and the police harassed him. So he said, all right, I'm getting out of the mall. He got out of the mall, and for his grand opening, he's got a guy with a gun on, with a sign showing where the new store is, and they've harassed him. This is Texas, and people are afraid of someone who's open carrying a gun, and that's what they try to do. It's just like a political assassination. You know, Jesse Ventura said a long time ago, first they assassinate your character, then they assassinate you. They want you to be afraid of guns. They want you to be afraid of people with guns, unless, of course, they're wearing a uniform, in which case they can be as militaristic, as threatening, as abusive as possible, and you should just cower in fear to them. But if it's an individual with a gun, you should be very afraid. That's not America. That's not what we want to see happen here. That is a very dangerous situation. We're going to be right back after the break. We're going to break this down for you. Alex Jones is going to be joining us with a special report, and he's going to break down what's really behind Philip Seymour Hoffman's death. We've got the real answers for you coming up, and we'll be taking your calls. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. The number, if you want to call, is 877-789-ALEX, or that's 789-2539. 877-789-2539.
Oh, the wisdom. So we have even right there.
What's his name?
is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, filling in for Alex on this Sunday, February the 9th, 2014. Now, Alex will be joining us later in the hour. He wants to talk about what is happening. This is an amazing story that came out this week from one of the mayors that was in Bloomberg's Mayors Against Illegal Guns group. Actually, that title tells you a lot about their orientation. Because if you look at the Second Amendment, there aren't illegal guns, okay? We all have a right to keep and bear arms, and that right is not to be infringed by the government. And we've even had Supreme Court cases recently pushing back against this false notion that it is somehow a right of the government. No, this is a right that we delegated certain powers to them. These are inherent rights that we hone as being a person. These are natural rights, and we restricted the government from touching those rights. Things like our privacy, which they violate all the time. Things like our free speech, which they're increasingly trying to take away. We have certain fundamental rights that are there because we are human, because we're individuals. As the Declaration of Independence pointed out, these are things that the government is now coming and trying to take away from us, even though they were explicitly told they did not have a right to do that. That's what the Bill of Rights is about. It's about individual rights. It's not about the government's rights. And even the 10th Amendment says, no, by the way, if we left anything out, you can't assume that. That's kind of like, these are encroachments. You know, when they infringe on your rights, it's like the government coming across onto your property line. If somebody puts their fence on your property line, puts a part of their building onto your property line, you either have to get them to move that off, or you need to tell them that they've filed an easement for them to say that you can get on my property, but it's still my property. Now, we've seen this happening over and over again, and yet we're allowing, if we step back and we get tired of this fight, if we don't pay attention, this is like allowing them to keep their encroachment onto our property. And after a certain while, they'll pretend that it's theirs. You know, you can legally do that in real estate. And that's the approach that the government is taking. They even do it with their secretive FISA court. They meet in secret with only one judge, no opposition, no jury. They come up with a decision. They publish it secretly. We're not allowed to see it. And then they maintain that they have changed and modified the Constitution. They might publish a notification about how some alphabet agency, maybe the EPA or the TSA or the IRS, is going to now encroach on our freedoms, or they're going to add something with the FDA is maybe going to allow people to add something that is poisonous to our food. And we say they have a public comment period. If we don't publicly comment about it, they say, well, they're fine with that. And they go ahead with their regulations. Now, of course, even if we comment about it and we say we're not fine with it, they still go ahead anyway, because we have a very docile, passive government at the congressional level, at the legislative level. They have delegated their authorities to the regulatory agencies. So we have a very dangerous situation. We've got a federal government that is basically going wild. It's basically biting the hand that feeds it. That would be us. It's basically turning on its master. So we have a federal government that's really kind of gone feral. So, you know, if you just take out the D, you've got it right there. They go from federal to feral. And I guess we should start calling it the feral government and kind of sound like James Carville. This story pulls us back, and Kit Daniels did a great job of packing in what's been going on. This is the Poughkeepsie mayor. His name is Kasich, I think is the way you pronounce it. It's an unusual name. He said it didn't take long, once he joined this group, it didn't take long to realize that Mayors Against Illegal Guns agenda was much more than ridding felons of illegal guns. Under the guise of helping mayors facing a crime and drug epidemic, MIAG intended to promote confiscation of guns from law-abiding citizens. He said, I don't believe, never have believed, never will believe that public safety is enhanced by encroaching on our right to keep and bear arms. I will not be a part of any organization that does. He pointed out that there are 50 other mayors who have left. But now there are other mayors who've just gotten elected. We've got a new mayor in Boston. We've got a new mayor in New York. And they're joining the group, Bloomberg's group, because it was Bloomberg and the mayor of Boston that started it in the very first place. And as I mentioned in our first segment, just today, the mayor of Boston announced that they're going to have a buyback. He's trying to capitalize, as they always do, on shootings, on accidental shootings, on mass shootings. Whenever there's a death, you never see this happen if there was an accident. You have a 14-year-old who shoots his 9-year-old brother with a gun and kills him. Now, if he had backed over him in the driveway accidentally or backed over a young child in the driveway, should everybody lose their automobiles because that tragedy happened? That is not the basis for how we conduct ourselves in this country. They're only able to do that because so many people have gotten away from the gun culture. So many people are afraid of guns. So many people fear the mere presence of a gun. They freak out when they see it. We also mentioned in the first segment how in Beaumont, Texas, just outside Houston, we had a guy arrested who was standing in front of a new gun shop with a AK-47 slung over his shoulder, pointed down, unloaded, totally legal in the state of Texas. And yet they come at this guy and they arrest him. He was leaving. The store had moved from a mall because they had been harassed repeatedly at the mall for that very same sort of thing. People would get afraid. They would see guns and they're going into a gun store. Listen to this article. Beaumont police were called to the Golden Triangle Tactical Saturday morning after complaints that a man dressed as a banana was seen holding an AK-47 outside the store. It was their grand opening because they'd moved from the mall. Back in December, the store owner had been stopped by the police inside of the mall for carrying an assault weapon alongside his back. His gun was seized and he was charged with disorderly conduct. See, it's not really a crime. They have to charge them with something, because if they don't charge them with something, then they will be charged with false arrest. And it really was false arrest. He didn't commit a crime. It's perfectly legal to carry a long rifle in Texas. But witnesses claimed that they were scared for their lives. Why are they afraid? Because they're not part of the gun culture. See, you can, in North Carolina, they had a fellow who drove a car through a crowd of people. He was a Muslim. It was an act of violence, an act of hatred. But he didn't shoot people. He drove his car through them. Now, if he had shot a lot of people, there would have been calls everywhere for change of gun laws in North Carolina, a change of gun laws nationally. But when he drove through a crowd of people, injured people, I think he might have killed some people. I don't remember exactly the incident, what happened with it. But regardless, when this happens with a car, if it's a car accident, you have multiple pileups, or if it's a deliberate act to try to injure and kill people, they don't call for cars to be banned. But these mayors in Boston, New York, elsewhere, they do call for those items to be banned, and they trade on the fact that people don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what their rights are, and they don't understand where this is all leading. Now, we've had this mayor say, particularly point out, the mayor from Poughkeepsie who left the Mayors Against Illegal Guns, particularly pointed out the hypocrisy of the fact that in Chicago, where they have so many gun control laws, that they have so much gun violence. I've talked to James Gerock, a former prosecutor in Cook County in Chicago. He was there for decades. He started out as a drug crusader, and then he retired. He's become a law enforcement against prohibition spokesperson. That's leap.cc. These people are former prosecutors, former police chiefs, former law enforcement, judges, politicians who have seen the adverse effects of the drug war. And as he pointed out, in Chicago, the problem isn't that we've got too few gun laws. It's that we got too many drug laws. 80% of the shootings that are happening in Chicago are happening because of the drug war. This is a war of drugs. And this is something that Alex Jones has a special report we're going to play later in the show, targets this exactly. This is exactly what happened with Philip Seymour Hoffman. He is a victim of the war of drugs. So many people in this country are. Prohibition has added a new level of suffering. We've got the most number of people that have ever been in prison because of prohibition. It has not done anything to solve the drug problem. And what it has done is given us problems of violence on the streets that they then blame on innocent, law-abiding citizens who are not shooting people on the street. It's the drug gangs that are doing that. Well, we're going to be right back. We're going to play what our mayor and the city council here in Austin has said. Because it isn't just the mayor of Poughkeepsie that has seen where these mayors are going and trying to ban all guns. We've seen this here in Austin. We catch them. Every once in a while, we catch them making a confession. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Mike Martinez.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight filling in for Alex on this Sunday, February the 9th, 2014. And we have a key article on Infowars.com. Mayor says nationwide gun confiscation is the goal of mayors against illegal guns. Now, this is an article by Kit Daniels that he posted first on Friday. It's so important. We wanted to bring that back up here for you. We wanted to go down, show you these videos, play for you on the radio what these people are saying. We've got a city councilman here in Austin, Mike Martinez, and Jakari Jackson and I were there filming this event. This is Moms Demand Action here in Austin, and he got provoked by some people who were just holding two signs, pro-Second Amendment signs. They were not yelling. They were not screaming. Art Acevedo, the police chief here, misrepresented that, said that they were screaming at them. They weren't. It was the people around them who were doing it, and we've got that on videotape. My wife was there standing behind the two guys taking videotape, so we know what happened. We saw it there. But at one point, Mike Martinez gets up when he gets ready to speak and takes the mic and says, your sign, which this was a sign saying that they're going to come after all guns, they're going to ban all guns. He said, your sign is not true yet, but hang on to it because we're going to make that come true. Here's that video.
First of all, to the gentleman that's dying for attention, someone needs to inform him that there is no gun ban currently. But because of the work that we're doing here today, we will make your sign legitimate shortly. So you hang on to that.
Yeah, they will make that sign legitimate shortly. That is the memo that all of these Democrat local government people have. Now, Art Acevedo had gone to Washington. He's been a part of this gun control meetings that Obama is running, as well as Mike Martinez. They're all on this agenda. And we've got one mayor in Poughkeepsie, New York, who pulled out and said that he wasn't going to be a part of an organization that was about gun confiscation, that it was misrepresented to him and to a lot of other people. 50 mayors have pulled out. They said that what they learned was that it was about all-out, nationwide gun confiscation, and that wasn't going to help the crime problem. They wanted to pull back illegal guns. In other words, guns that were in the hands of felons, for example. But this is about total gun confiscation. This is what they've been working for and moving for a long time. Here's some context from a year ago. Here's an InfoWars report from 1 year ago.
Aaron Dykes here for Infowars.com and a quick news bulletin. Now, it came out today in Politiker how after Aurora, Mayor Bloomberg made his plans for the next massacre and how he was going to use it to push gun control. Well, no duh. We saw this coming, but it's good to have it documented now. And it details how in just a few hours after the Aurora massacre, he began flagging Obama, who was then a candidate for re-election, Romney, saying, what are you going to do about guns? Reviving his whole Mayors Against Illegal Guns, which itself is a fraudulent group, misdirecting on the real issue of gun violence, which really comes from gun control policies within cities, and making it seem like an individual problem. A big misdirection government always does, despite the issue. But I already documented back on January 1st, New Year's of this year, the top 10 events that proved the Obama administration was already planning gun control long before the Newtown tragedy, and just simply exploited it with all the dead children and used it to move forward the agenda they've been stealthily planning for years and years and years. Feinstein herself was admittedly working on her assault weapons ban legislation on the days leading up to the election, and it had nothing to do specifically with Adam Lanza or how he got his weapons or what allegedly happened there. It had to do with them waiting for any kind of tragedy to happen and just using the propaganda on the backs of it, making people feel guilty for those deaths and trying to take away everyone's rights.
That's right. As Aaron pointed out, back in November of 2012, this is in between the Aurora, Colorado shooting and the Sandy Hook shooting, Dianne Feinstein was holding staff meetings with the ATF, and her rumored bill was going to ban pistol grips, high-capacity magazines. We're seeing that now in a lot of these gun control states. And it was going to ban other aspects of weapons and possession. You couldn't resell your weapons to other people if you had that in your possession. But she goes all the way back to 1995. Remember this quote?
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
Yeah, that's exactly what she wanted to do. She wanted an outright ban. She wanted it in 95, almost 20 years ago. Now, the Detroit police chief has had an interesting epiphany. He's had a journey going first from California, then to Maine, and then to Michigan and to Detroit. And this is covered in the article from Kit Daniels. He links to this article. This is a police chief who, when he was in California, he completely bought into the idea that confiscating guns was going to make people safer. And then when he went to Maine, where there was very, very low crime, but very, very high gun ownership, it began to change his mind. And it wasn't just political pressure from the people there, pressuring him to grant concealed carry licenses, as he was saying. He was very reluctant to do that initially. But it was something that I think really took with him. I think he really learned the lesson and took it to heart, because when he moved back to a gun control area in Detroit, Michigan, he's now making statements like this. He says, if more citizens are armed, criminals would think twice about attacking them. This is Detroit Police Chief James Craig. And he said, when we look at a good community members who have concealed carry permits, the likelihood that they'll shoot is based on their lack of confidence in the police department. So he says he changed his orientation very quickly when he went to Maine. And of course, they feel like they always have to put a balancing argument against this in the press. So they have somebody from a gun control group. And she says, well, this is Robin Thomas. She's with a gun violence group in San Francisco. She says his position is an emotional one. It's based on the idea that people feel safer when they have guns. That's not what the police chief is saying. The police chief has guns. He already has a gun. He doesn't feel safer because these honest citizens, these law-abiding citizens have guns. It's not just that they have guns. This is because he's seen the decline in violence. He knows that they're going to be there. They're going to have his back in many of these situations. In many of these situations, it will be diffused peacefully just by people having guns. They can prevent it from ever even happening. It's a deterrent. He knows that. It's reflected in the FBI statistics. Contra to what this lady says in the article, this Robin Thomas says, there's no research that shows that guns make anyone safer or that it reduces crime. That is an absolute lie. There's been research after research showing that. As a matter of fact, we can see what happens in areas like the UK where they completely ban guns. We see that gun violence, not just overall violence, but violence from guns doubled after the guns were confiscated in England. So how does that happen? Well, it happens because you've got this thing called a black market, just like with drugs. Just merely prohibiting something doesn't make it go away. It still stays there because people have a need for it. It'll be there. It'll just be there as a black market. And what you'll wind up doing is adding a very dangerous criminal element to it. You'll give criminal groups a monopoly on the provision of this thing, just like it was during alcohol prohibition. Just like we've seen with alcohol prohibition, the same thing can and does happen whenever they prohibit guns. That's why gun violence doubled in England after they prohibited all guns. Now, why is it that these mayors are only concerned about violence from guns? They're not concerned about violence from people that are getting killed with shovels or with knives or with anything else. It's only guns. Because they want to take your guns. They want to take your right to defend yourself. They want to make you completely dependent upon the government. And they want to have you at the mercy of the government. And we've seen all too often what happens when a government loses all constraint.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center.
In the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, filling in for Alex on this Sunday, February the 9th, 2014. And we've been talking about the article on InfoWars where the Poughkeepsie mayor says the nationwide gun confiscation is the goal of mayors against illegal guns. Of course, that's Bloomberg's group that he created along with a Boston mayor. But he's the one who's really funding all of this. And we've just went through the clip from the city councilman here in Austin, Mike Martinez. We went over a clip from Feinstein where she said that she wanted to take all the guns. If it was in her power, she would take all the guns. Of course, Mike Martinez addressed a couple of people who were counter-demonstrating their demonstration there at the state capitol, said, stop the gun ban. He goes, oh, hang on to your sign. We're not going to do that just yet, but we're going to. We're going to be coming back for that. Now, we've got people on the line calling, and we got someone from Sydney, Australia. I want to get his take on this gun ban because it's been done in Australia. This is Mel, Australia, there?
Hello, David.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, good, man. It's a pleasure to talk to you. The gun ban. Well, you guys are so lucky that you have guns, man. They don't allow guns anywhere in Australia.
Right.
All they have are the bolt action and the lever action.
Oh, they let you have bolts and levers. Is that right?
Yeah, but you have to register and have a license. And I'll let you have a handgun as well, but they've got a lot of regulations, and it's very difficult.
That's right.
To own one.
That's right. They will infringe on it on the edges. They'll make it essentially impractical to own anything if they don't outright ban it. Now, you had a situation there. Even the guy, Crocodile Dundee, he was killed in a shootout with the police there over guns that they had made illegal that previously were illegal, right?
I'm not sure about that. I didn't get a bit of that. Well, yeah. Crocodile Dundee, he was the movie star. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He's still alive.
No, not the movie star, but the guy they based the story on. The real life Crocodile Dundee, yeah.
Ah, right. No, I'm not sure about that. But I wanted to have your take on the G20 that's happening in Brisbane, Australia. Have you heard anything about it?
Well, we haven't been covering the G20. We have been covering the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That's one of the things that concerns us here very much, because that's a comprehensive movement that's not just a trade agreement. That's going to affect so many different areas of people's lives. It's really kind of a back way to shut down internet freedom. It's also going to allow them to go against prohibitions against genetic modified organisms and take that out of the control of local governments and basically allow that to happen without any interference from people.
Yeah.
What did you want to say about the G20?
Oh, the police state is just taking over. Apparently, they're locking down all the citizens in Brisbane in the city. No one's allowed to leave their home, and the police have the power to do whatever they want.
Yeah, that's pretty much happening everywhere. Everybody's got their eyes on Sochi, and that's what everybody's thinking about right now is the Olympics, and they're not really looking at the G20 that much. Well, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later. Andy in North Carolina. Andy, are you there?
This is the right Marksman von Stiglitz. You use this weed. Why on earth do you want to carry a weapon?
I'm sorry, what?
Why do you want to carry a weapon? Only the stormtroopers of the SS carry the weapon, and only the Uberman of the corporation carry the weapon.
That's right.
You under Mitch, you do not carry a weapon. You
That's
understand?
Right. That's right. That's
you do
right.
not carry the weapon. You are the under Mitch. You eat your GMO. You smoke the fluoride. You smoke the nicotine vaporizer, and you die. That's all you do. The corporation is the sovereign. You're human weed.
That's right.
Yes, I am the Uberman. Right, Marshal von Stiglitz. Yeah.
Thank you. The federal government has now become the federal government. Thank you. All right, Andrew in Pennsylvania. Andrew, you there? Hello, Andrew. Let's go to South Carolina. WB. Hello, South Carolina. WB, are you there?
Dave, you there, buddy?
Hey, did you want to weigh in on this on the gun confiscation plans of mayors against illegal guns?
Yes, sir. I mean, thankfully, I live in a state where we have more relaxed gun control than most other states. But I just want to know, Dave, when do you think they're going to give up this fight? Because it just seems that every time they try to push, the market and the free people push back by buying more guns, buying more ammunition. It just doesn't seem to be working for them. And when are they going to realize that?
Well, they have been able to make some inroads in this, and that's one of the things that was pointed out in this article from Kit Daniels. In some gun control states, like New York, I know this isn't happening in South Carolina, but in New York, they passed the SAFE Act. And let me read you some of the things that are in the SAFE Act here. They have bans of any high-capacity magazines, regardless of where they were made or sold. They have to register ammunition sales. See, that's where they're spreading out. They're coming after ammunition, not just with created shortages, but now they want to track ammunition. They also want to use the UN Arms Trade Treaty to stop the flow of guns back and forth across borders, either importing them or exporting them. That's been the goal all along. That was what they were trying to do with Fast and Furious. The New York Times even admitted that Fast and Furious was an operation to discredit the First Amendment. And the UN Arms Trade Treaty is going to formalize that. It's going to make it very difficult to get arms from other countries, as well as requiring registration. Because if they're going to know where guns are going to be are moving, they need to, of course, register everybody's guns. And once they register your guns, the next step is confiscation. We've seen that over and over again.
Yeah, it's definitely an extremely scary thing, but I think just like the basis of the show is the information war. If we could just keep on, teaching more people, about gun safety and proper handling of a gun, we will start to create more and more of a movement. Because I'll tell you what, David, when I see these Mark Dice videos on here, and they're telling college students, we're going to take away the Second Amendment and we're going to put our own, you know, their own lead in the gun owners' bodies on the front lawn. I mean, it's a little scary out there.
Well, exactly. That's what I was saying earlier, is that people are afraid of guns. They don't know what they're about. Whenever we have an automobile accident, whenever somebody is killed in an automobile accident, you don't see people getting together and holding candlelight vigils and saying, we need to get rid of all cars. We need to have a buyback of all cars. That's what they're doing in Boston. And we see that even in Houston, in Beaumont, Texas, the police went after a guy with a gun shop. He's got somebody standing in front of the gun shop dressed as a banana with an AK-47 slung over his shoulder. It's unloaded. The muzzle's pointed to the ground. It's totally legal to do that in Texas. And yet they arrest him and charge him with disorderly conduct. They did that to the store owner in a mall. And that's why he moved out of the mall and moved to the store. So he has his grand opening ceremony and the same thing happens to him there. It really is perception. They really do assassinate the character of gun owners and make people afraid of guns themselves. That's the whole point of it. They're playing on people's ignorance, trying to make people afraid of guns themselves so that they will just have support a blanket ban. And that is the agenda of Bloomberg. That's been the stated agenda of Feinstein. It is the agenda of Bloomberg. This mayor from Poughkeepsie pointed it out, told everybody what he had seen inside the group, pointed out that he and 50 others at least have left this because they've learned that that's the agenda.
It's scary, David. All I can say is just keep on spreading the good word and God bless y'all.
Well, thank you. Yeah, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, and that's why we can't ever get tired of this. This devastating admission from one of the mayors who was in Mayors Against Illegal Guns is very important. They're not stopping this. This is the year, of course, where Obama says he's going to have a year of action. And one of the things he's going to do with his pen, he just restated this yesterday. He still restated that he's got a pen and he's got a phone and he's going to use them to do whatever he can. And of course, he's also got a bureaucracy that writes regulations as if they were legislators. And so between him and these regulatory agencies, there's quite a lot that he can do that we don't want done from our elected representatives. A lot of times they'll push this off to other people so that they purposely abdicate their responsibility so they don't have to take the hit when outrageous legislation is published. They can then come back in like they're white knights and say, oh, we never wanted to see that happen. That's an out-of-control regulatory agency. But we have a president who has done more executive orders than any president before him. And unfortunately, it's part of a trend. George Bush had set a record for the number of executive orders. I've seen people defend George Bush by saying he set a new record as well for executive orders. We need to stop that. We don't want to be ruled by fiat. We want to be ruled like a democratic republic. We don't want, it's a constitutional republic. It is not a dictatorship. We don't want to see somebody doing this. We've got to pull this in. We're going to be right back with more of your calls, so stay tuned.
We've got it.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, filling in for Alex today, and we're going to be taking your calls just a moment. I got lined up on the phone Jalen out of Alabama, Chris in Kentucky, Peachy in Alabama, AMG in Alabama, and many others. Hang on, we're going to be right to you, but first, I want to play another clip. Now, you know, mayors against illegal guns, they're all about stopping gun violence. They don't care about other forms of violence. They want to get you afraid of guns, so afraid of guns that you will take all of them off the street, just as Feinstein has said. She wants Mr. and Mrs. America to give up all of their guns. In this story that broke out of Beaumont, Texas, just outside of Houston earlier, this is a guy who was promoting a new store opening, a new gun store opening, standing outside in a banana suit, an 18-year-old. He was holding an AK-47 across his back with the barrel pointing down. And the officers say that they detained the 18-year-old and found that he had a rifle with a drum magazine that was attached with at least a 50-round capacity. Isn't that scary? Now, notice what they didn't say. They didn't say that it was loaded. They didn't say that he was using it in a menacing manner. They didn't say that he had broken the law because it wasn't loaded. He wasn't menacing anybody with it. It was perfectly legal to do that. But they want you to be afraid of it. So they talk about how this is an AK-47, an assault rifle. And it also has a 50-round magazine capacity on it. So this is something you should be very much afraid of. This is a campaign to get people afraid of an inanimate object, irrationally afraid of it. Here's what Eric Holder said about it.
And what we need to do is change the way in which people think about guns, especially young people. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
See, this is an effort to brainwash people. This is equivalent to reefer madness, where they demonized marijuana. Remember that? Remember the propaganda campaign? This is exactly the same sort of thing. They want to produce not only ignorance, but fear of this inanimate object. And we've seen what happens in the drug war with that. As I mentioned before, former prosecutor from Cook County, that's Chicago, Illinois, said that 80% of the shootings there were over illegal drugs. The war on drugs and prohibition are what is creating most of this violence. The mass shootings are done by people on SSRI drugs. Now, of course, that's coming from Big Pharma. So the government that is profiteering from the war on drugs doesn't want this stopped. And the big pharmaceuticals, who are the big sponsors of the media, as well as ties to many in the government, they don't want to see the SSRIs stopped either. So we're not going to address the root cause of the violence. Instead, we're going to just let it continue to go on. This is Alex Jones' report about the government's involvement in the death of Philip Seymour Hoffman, who died this week.
The tragic overdose death of Philip Seymour Hoffman, the Academy Award-winning actor, is an illustration of what a fraud the war on drugs is. He died, reportedly, of a heroin overdose of a particularly strong type, of course, out of Afghanistan, known as the Ace of Spades. And soon after, they raided and arrested four people in connection to selling him the heroin. Well, the heroin is processed out of opium that comes from Afghanistan. Before the liberation of Afghanistan in 2001, less than 7% of world opium production came out of Afghanistan. Today, it's over 93%, approaching 97%. Ladies and gentlemen, this is simply incredible because you have the war on drugs making the opium illegal so that the black market can be controlled by big banks and the government, and so they can shut down their competition while filling the prisons with the low-level dealers who are compartmentalized. Our troops, on record, grow the opium and protect it, and it's then shipped out of the country. The Russians have complained about this. The Europeans have complained about this. NATO is heavily involved in trafficking the narcotics out with the Pentagon.
The Taliban finances much of its operations by selling opium, which is grown from poppies, which are right now being harvested. So here's the question. Why are American troops now helping Afghan farmers grow that opium?
In western Kandahar, poppy farmers score, till, harvest their crop, and the Americans do nothing to stop them.
Assalamu alaikum.
And in a sense, you're watching as this opium is being grown. I know it grinds at your gut. How do you deal with it? What are you doing about it?
Well, frankly, this is a part of their culture. So while it might grind in my gut, it's what they do.
And now, because the public's begun to wake up to this, they've hidden it in plain view with Fox News, ABC News, you name it, BBC, the list goes on and on, coming out and going, yeah, the troops kind of guard it. They don't like it, but that's their culture.
We provide them security, we're providing them resources, and we're providing them alternatives.
And the Marines are doing the good thing. Dave, Clayton, and Allison, back to you guys in New York.
He just explains it better than we can ever read in any paper what a dilemma it is with the opium trade.
And they make so much money off the opium per yard there. They make so much money compared to those other crops.
They're not guarding it because it's the Afghan culture. They're guarding it because they're ramping up production, giving them the fertilizer to ship it in worldwide. $500 billion a year in opium profits alone. The British were able to bring down the Chinese government over a 50-year period because the Chinese made opium illegal. And so the British could infiltrate with it and make huge profits and buy off the local governments. That same system has been done by these offshore mega banks that are laundering hundreds of billions of dollars of the money each year. The police have been corrupted with asset forfeiture seizure. The list goes on and on. Think about it. Our government helps grow and ship the opium out of Afghanistan. And then at the same time has the nerve to arrest low-level dealers that sell it to people like Hoffman who tragically die. There is a scourge of heroin in the last 12 years flooding the world out of Afghanistan, and our criminal government, run by offshore megabanks, is at the wheel driving the entire thing. Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars Nightly News. Back to David Knight.
The war on drugs, I should say the war of drugs, because as Alex pointed out, it's being grown and trafficked by the CIA and others in our government. It has been the justification for decades for the state of the art, for the cutting edge of destroying our civil liberties, as well as militarizing the police. That's where they started these SWAT teams. They said, we have to have them to go in for the big drug raids. Now they're using them for everything. And now they're going to the war on terror because that's the next progression. People are starting to wake up to the futility, to the insanity of drug prohibition. You have a lot of law enforcement officers, former judges, former attorneys who are waking up, who are speaking out against this, telling people exactly what Alex just said. This is something that is in the government's interest. It is not in the people's interest.
The SAFE Act isn't the only example, but it's certainly one of the ones that points the most to the fact that our government isn't listening to the people, and we are the government.
And that's the police chief in New York who's spoken out against the SAFE Act. That's the one that I was reading to you about before, that banned the possession of any high-capacity magazines because, remember, they're scary. That was one of the bases of them going after this guy dressed like a banana carrying an empty AK-47. But he had a high-capacity magazine, so we got to arrest that guy outside of Houston. And registering ammunition. This is going through New York, and this is this sheriff who you just heard there is part of a lawsuit to stop that unconstitutional act, just as Sheriff Mack and other constitutional sheriffs stopped some of the Brady Bill provisions back in, I guess it was about 20 years ago that Sheriff Mack did that. But he's also saying that he's not going to break the law. He's not going to enforce an unjust law. And, you know, we have to stand up as individuals, and we have to say that as jurors, we're not going to enforce unjust, unconstitutional laws. We have to stop being rubber stamps for the system. And we need to understand that our job as a juror is to look not just at the facts of the case and accept the laws as a given, but to also look at the justice of the laws. That's how they stopped alcohol prohibition. It's how people have been pushing back against marijuana prohibition. Now we see that it's been legalized in several different states. This is how we take our freedoms back. We have to get involved. We have to educate others. That's what we're about here. That's what Prison Planet TV is about. You can support that with your subscription. You can pass that out to other people so they can see the news, so they can see it from a different perspective, so they can understand what's going on and not be brainwashed by Eric Holder and others who are lying to us about their agenda, who are using very clever PSYOP techniques on the American public. We need to push back against that. We need to do everything we can to inform each other. We're going to be talking to those who are called in. We've got on the phone Jalen and many others who've been patiently waiting, and we're going to be right back after the break. We're going to take your phone call, so stay tuned.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight filling in for Alex, and we've got your calls on the line. We're going to be going to those in just a couple of minutes. Mark Kelly, former astronaut, testifies in favor of gun control and then goes shooting. Now, this is reported by Lars Larson, radio host. He noticed that the Portland police had tweeted out a photo of him shooting at their target range right after he had testified for more gun control in the Oregon legislature. Now, of course, when he supported this expansion of the background checks, this is from Breitbart, As a means of stopping crime, State Senator Betsy Close countered by asking if Jared Lochner had passed a background check before carrying out his heinous attack on then-Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords in January of 2011. Actually, he did pass a background check. These are simply harassments. They're infringements on our rights to keep and bear arms. They don't stop any crime. The real root cause of this is the drug war and these dangerous SSRI prescription drugs. Let's go to our callers here. We've got Jalen in Alabama. Jalen, do you want to weigh in on this? Oh, we just missed her, I guess. Nope, she's still there. Is she still there? Well, let's go to Chris in Kentucky. Chris, are you there?
Hello, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. You know, this AK-47, about a year ago at this time in Jackson County, Kentucky, we had a sheriff that was on that with Alex Jones on the nightly news interviewed a year ago. Sheriff Denny Pyman is one of the most patriot sheriffs that I've ever seen in this state because he doesn't care if you have an AR-15 or an AK-47 because if you got a bunch of thugs, there's 60 people or more rushing to at your farmhouse, whatever, I love that saying, you better have it to protect your family because they cannot be there.
That's right.
It is such a fact. That's the kind of sheriffs we need in this country. Denny Pyman, I'll tell you what, I think I'll move there. Because when I heard him being interviewed, I want to be a free man. I want a man that stands on the county for his freedom, and that's what we need in this country.
Absolutely.
But we've been so indoctrinated with this fear-mongering, oh, the cell phones are going to save you, the NSA is going to save you, you need to be tracked everywhere you go because the big government's your friend. That's the problem. We got to start educating the young people now. Dave, I used to be a liberal, socialist-minded person, anti-gun, but when I've seen the changes in the early 1990s, when I began to see things changing, when I found Alex Jones and researched all this, this changed me big. This is an empire that we've got to get on the run, and now. Let's get this country back.
Well, absolutely. And just as we pointed out on Friday, we have a very vulnerable, very fragile infrastructure. It could be taken away by sabotage. It could be taken away just by an aging infrastructure. And so we have to be able to protect ourselves. We have to be able to protect our families. And one of the things that I keep thinking about is the Hurricane Katrina in L.A. and that scene where the sheriff gets on and says, nobody will have guns. We're going to take all the guns away. And you've got a lot of people who are disarmed. You've got the pictures of the elderly lady who was knocked on the ground as they took away her guns, went into her house and took away her guns. People who were not bothering anybody, who were just protecting themselves, staying with their family inside of their house. And our government went door to door to disarm these people and leave them at the mercy of who knows what. So, yeah, it's a very, very, very concerning thing. And we need to stand with the sheriffs, as you point out. Thank you, Chris. Let's go to Peachy in Alabama. Peachy.
Hey, how you doing, Dave? This is Peachy from FEMA Region 2, Jersey.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Okay. Hey, I just want to say these pigs are out of control. I mean, the government, the police. I'm in Jersey. We have to start exercising our Second Amendment right. I mean, I don't want this crap that's happening over in New York. It's going to come over here.
That's right.
We need an even playing ground. I'm not saying we got to be violent or nothing, but a gun is basically a backup stick. I see you with one or you see me with one. Hey, we're going to have that mutual respect.
Yes.
These people who have the guns and these costumes are the ones going out of control and beating people down and killing them. I like Arizona's laws.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling it. Yeah, that's something to be very concerned about. It's the militarization of the police. As I pointed out, we've got a federal government that is going feral. We've sent them abroad in war after war after war, and now they're militarizing here domestically, preparing for war against us, talking about us being civilians and boots on the ground.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. The Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns.
I have sworn upon the altar.
altar of God, eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight filling in for Alex. Now, this hour is brought to you by MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com is the home of the Patriot Pantry line of emergency food storage. The food's delicious, easy to prepare, and it's put together with GMO-free crops, storable for up to 25 years. The globalists are counting on you to be unprepared. Fight back. Get prepared at MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex today. Now, we've got some callers on the line. We've been talking about the revelation from the Poughkeepsie mayor who said that he and 50 other mayors have left Bloomberg's group because they realize that the agenda is a full-out confiscation. It's not about taking guns away from felons. It's about confiscating the guns of law-abiding citizens who have a natural right that has been respected in the Constitution in the Second Amendment. I want to take your calls and get your feedback on it. AMG in Alabama, what do you think about this issue?
Good evening.
Hey.
Sorry about this. I was actually calling about the sniper attack that was released a few days ago.
Okay, yes. On the power structure, on the transformers in Silicon Valley. Yes, go ahead.
Well, I was calling to say that I respectfully disagree with the analysis that it's a false flag.
Okay. And why?
Because they're missing a patsy. You don't plant a false flag that makes the government look bad. You plant a false flag that's going to make the government look good in any capacity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Without a patsy, it just the only message it's going to say is, hey, the NSA, the police state cannot even protect its own infrastructure, much less you.
Well, that's why we talked about it. You know, not all false flags are directed at the public. Sometimes false flags are directed at law enforcement. Sometimes they're directed at members of Congress. Sometimes they're just trying to get law enforcement hyped up to think that there's a much larger threat than there really is, so they'll be more abusive, so that maybe they won't really care about following the law or the constitutional procedures or due process, but they'll be eager to do whatever the government bids them to do. At the time this was happening, there was a debate in Congress back in April about CISPA. And, of course, that's cybersecurity, but it was all about infrastructure. And infrastructure was a big part of it. So what we're saying is that could have been something that was done to get people online on board with CISPA at the time that was happening, people in Congress. But what looks suspicious to us about this is that it was put out as a vandalism charge, even though it was very, very carefully planned. They took out these transformers without blowing them up. They had obviously spotted this area prior to that. They even went underground and cut phone lines. So it was very careful how they were very carefully planned, very carefully executed. But then it was also pulled back. And now the concern is, and it may be just that this one guy was looking at it and thinking that, well, nothing has happened. Nobody's really talking about it. But the fellow who was the former chairman of the FERC has now come public with this and said, this is not an act of vandalism. Clearly, it was not simply an act of vandalism. So the question is, was it real terrorists or was it an inside false flag? Or are they preparing us for some kind of a false flag in the future? Do you disagree?
Not entirely. I go with the real terrorism because it's too carefully planned to neglect the patsy if it was a false flag. Now, if it turns out that Patsy was made to disappear under NDAA and that comes out later, then yes, it's probably a false flag and I'll eat my hat then.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, typically with a false flag, they typically come out right away. They've got a suspect. Right away, they've got a lone gunman. Right away, they try to panic the public about this. And so that in and of itself was interesting, but we do understand that not all false flags are necessarily directed at the public at that time. And so that's our concern about it. Thank you so much. Let's talk to Spence in Missouri. Spence, what's your take on gun control?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I've been driving, so I'm on my cell phone. Thank goodness for y'all's show. About 2 years ago, I got woken up, and I've tried several times. I've sent you some letters and sent you some emails to Alex trying to reach him, because this problem that we have is almost like a duck, a one-legged duck swimming in a circle. You know, it's we all know about this problem. Everybody that listens to the show is not from the other side. You know, we're, let's say that we're 20%, 25% of us out here that are listening to the show. We know these problems. We go to work day by day, understanding, feeling this in our heart, and we just don't know what to do about it. And the letters I've written to Alex was pertaining to doing, you know, the proper marketing and trying to do what the globalists have been successful doing, and that is copying, mimicking what they've done by doing the type of marketing that they've done. We could do it very easily with just the people that are listening right now, and that is, you know, in your area, if you had, I know that there's info warriors that are out there. I know there's people that believe like we all believe, but, you know, if it's, we've got to, if you took Fox News, for an example, they've got different satellite offices in different states, and inside those states, they've got their own in every county, basically. So what I'm saying is we need to market this thing to get to the people, because all of the people in this country, you can't tell me that they don't still have the fundamentals deep down inside and want freedom and justice and liberty for all. We've all got to band together, and we have to learn how to do that banding. And if it's printing out flyers and going to the post office or going to the local place where the most people end up going every day to hand these flyers out to get this country really aware of what's going on, then the globalists will never survive this.
That's absolutely true. You need to talk to your friends and neighbors. And we're trying to do everything we can in every venue that we got the InfoWars.com website. We have Prison Planet TV. We have the nightly news. We're getting ready to roll that out to local television stations and major markets. We've got magazines. We're trying to do everything we can, producing documentaries. There are YouTube videos. If you get a subscription, you can pass that out to 10 other people, Prison Planet TV. So you can forward the news to 10 other people, and the subscription's not that expensive. So there's a lot that you can do to just pass our information around. And, of course, other people are putting this stuff out as well. The key thing is that it's an information war. It's been an information war quite some time, and the other side is using it as propaganda, just like the clip that we played earlier from Eric Holder. Eric Holder, he admitted that it's propaganda. They need to brainwash people. We're not trying to brainwash people. We're trying to present the truth to them, and we get it out as soon as we see it. We try to be as objective as possible, and I can tell you I've been working here for over a year and a half, and Alex Jones is totally committed to this stuff. He's putting everything he can into trying to get this out in as many different venues as possible. So I appreciate your support. Thank you. Carl in Washington. Carl, what did you want to say?
Can you hear me there, David?
Yeah, gotcha. Go ahead.
I wanted to make a comment, and then I had a question for you. Comment was, did you see that guy that testified in Oregon here a couple days ago?
Mark Kelly? You're talking about the astronaut?
No, the Manny Ramirez.
Hang on, we're out of time. Yeah, we just had Mark Kelly, who is a former astronaut. I guess they asked him about Jared Lochner and the shooting of that was down in New Mexico, because he was Arizona, because he testified in favor of gun control and then immediately went down to the police shooting range. That's the kind of hypocrisy that we've seen from Dianne Feinstein. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, filling in for Alex, and we were just talking to Carl in Washington. I wanted to get Carl's comments. He brought up the article that Mikhail Phelan had on Friday. Man who fled communism blasts Oregon lawmakers for their gun control attempt. Carl, what did you want to say about that?
Well, I didn't know if you had a chance to listen to it, but this video should in some way become the poster man of the Second Amendment, because it's awesome. And then my question, I'll throw this at you too, is isn't there some kind of legality with government, whether federal or state, funding their garbage of trying to sell the public and using our tax dollars to do that? There's got to be a way that's got to be illegal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they do propaganda all the time. They've got ad agencies that do propaganda. They've got this whole thing called the government school system that is basically selling their agenda constantly. But, yeah, I haven't seen that video yet, but I have seen one from a Chinese fellow who was speaking at a gun control rally in Massachusetts about a year ago. Very, very compelling testimony, because he was at Tiananmen Square when that happened. And he said, you know what, if we had the weapons, Tiananmen Square wouldn't have come down the same way as it did. That's something very important to remember. Now, this article that Carl was just talking about, Carl from Washington, Mikhail Phelan put up on InfoWars on Friday. He's got a couple of quotes from the video. He says, this is the fellow who escaped communism in 1962. He escaped from Cuba. His name is Manuel Martinez. And he said, don't sell me this gun control. A very powerful man tried to sell me this 50-some-odd years ago, and I didn't buy it. This is Marxism, plain and clear. He said they put this dog and pony show on saying, hey, we're going to protect you. No, what they did was to enslave a country. They destroyed a country the same way that this country is going to be destroyed if we continue in this fashion. This is what you are selling here. You know, when we were at the Alamo, we asked Alex and Anthony Gucciardi, I was filming, they asked if they would confiscate the guns if given the order to do so. And they hedged and hedged and hedged and finally said, well, it's a hypothetical scenario. Anthony pointed out, your oath to the Constitution is not a hypothetical. They train on hypothetical scenarios all the time, but they wouldn't give a straight answer. And that was a very clear, yes, I would confiscate, just like the police chief in New Orleans did. And, you know, at the Alamo, so many people who are both English or Spanish, Hispanic, will try to portray that as a group of Anglos taking from Mexico the territory of Texas. But we need to understand, just as Alex pointed out to Piers Morgan, Santa Anna tried to take the guns. Santa Anna came to power and revoked the Constitution in Mexico and started confiscating guns. And it wasn't just Texas. You know, there were Anglos as well as Hispanics that were fighting at the Alamo and fighting Santa Anna. But it wasn't just Texas. You know, there were 11 provinces that rebelled against Santa Anna. And there were 3 provinces that actually formed their own government. That was Tejas, the Rio Grande, and the Yucatan. Now, of all those 3, only Texas survived. Only Texas was able to free themselves from Santa Anna, who was a military dictator. He came to power with a military coup. He threw the Constitution out. He started confiscating weapons, just like Fidel Castro. And it isn't a Spanish thing. It isn't a German thing. It's a government thing. It's democide. It's what they do when they confiscate the weapons. They want to be the only ones to have weapons. That empowers them. Whenever weapons are concentrated in the hands of a few people, you always have despotism. You always have democide. And, you know, it's not just the firearms. We've got something coming down the lane that is far more dangerous, something that is going to affect the police themselves if they continue to go along with this tyrannical agenda. And that is the government owning weapons that are remotely controlled, robots, drones, that sort of thing. At that point, they're no longer going to need the police to enforce their laws. Now you're going to have so much power concentrated in the hands of so few people. It is very difficult at that point to try to pull that back. We're going to need all the firearms we can get if we can't stop the military-industrial complex from the militarization that they're doing now and then turning that over so that just a few people in some underground bunker in the middle of the continental United States can remote control their terrorism on everybody. This will involve everyone, not just the citizens. It will involve the police, because they will at that point no longer need the police. Let's go to the heretic in Washington. Heretic, you got something to say?
Hello, David.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing real good. You guys were stealing my material about 15 years ago. I came up with the expression, the feral grabbit.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I like that one even better.
Yeah, that's good.
Where I want to go, it's maybe a little presumptuous, but I want to take it to a degree that Alex was going to bring up about 15, 16 months ago. And that was Representative Larry McDonald on mm-hmm. Crossfire back in the 1980s before he was excommunicated on Flight 007. Right. All of the agenda of the New World Order was brought to the fore in that interview. So if you guys can definitely get that up and running and play it about once a month.
Oh, he was very, very, very articulate man, wasn't he? Such a shame to lose him. He really knew what was going on, and he was able to hold his own in a debate with anyone. He was truly an amazing person, a real patriot.
Right. That one particular interview on Crossfire with Louis Rukeyser and Pat Buchanan, mm-hmm. it literally went to the crux of the UN world order, including the confiscation worldwide of firearms.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, the U.N. Arms Trade Treaty is something that we have talked about here repeatedly. It is something that even though it's been pushed back time and time again, it is still in play. They never give up on any of these tactics. And we need to understand that the core thing about the U.N. Arms Trade Treaty is that they're going to say that they're going to stop the movement of arms across borders in any direction. Now, of course, to do that, they need universal registration, not only of guns, but of ammunition. That's what they want to do. I was at the UN when they were debating it last, it was in July, not last July, it was July 2012. And Fast and Furious was set up to create the case that they needed the UN Arms Trade Treaty. But of course, that blew up in their face. And it really blew up right about the time that they had scheduled to bring it to a vote. So they said, wait, we're not going to do it now. We don't want to interfere with the American elections that were coming up in a couple of months. So they said, we'll have it right after the elections. And sure enough, the day of the election, as they saw that they were going to have more Democrats in the Senate, that Obama was going to be reelected, they said, we're going to revisit this again in the spring. We have to be very careful about that. That is the stated purpose of the UN Arms Trade Treaty. They want to register everyone's firearms, everyone's ammunition. That is another. They take multiple approaches to this. This is a multi-pronged attack. They don't just come after us with Mayor Bloomberg and his guys. They don't just come after us with gun laws at the local level. They come after us with laws at the local level, at the state level, at the national level, and at the United Nations level. We have to understand that the empire is always going to strike back as you hear this. They may be down, but they're not out. We had some victories last year, but we need to stay on point. And we're going to be right back. We're going to have some more of your calls, so stay tuned.
Himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Don't sell me this. A very powerful man tried to sell me this 50-something years ago. I didn't buy it. Do you think you're going to buy it? Do you think I'm going to buy it now? After pushing 80 years? This is Marxism, plain and clear.
That's right. That's the words of Manuel Martinez. He took away people's guns. That's how they established it in Cuba. That's how they've established it, dictatorships over and over throughout history. And we're playing the music from The Magnificent Seven because that's a movie that really lays it out. Now, it's interesting to note that The Magnificent Seven... It's a story that was directly taken from a Japanese film, The Seven Samurai by Akira Kurosawa. They even credited him with it in the opening credits of the movie. And, you know, you can, maybe your wife doesn't like to watch Westerns, you know, maybe you could talk her into it, tell her that Yul Brynner is in it, the same guy that was in The King and I, or you can talk your kids into watching a Western that's about 50, 60 years old by telling them that they can look for and identify some themes that are repeated in A Bug's Life. That's right. It's about tyranny. And it's about what happens when weapons are held in the hands of a few people. If you remember the story of the Magnificent Seven, this is a Mexican village that was being terrorized by bandits. The federales, the local police would do or could do nothing about it. So what they do is they go and they hire some mercenaries. The same story that was in the Seven Samurai. But they didn't just sit on the sidelines. They brought these guys down. They didn't know how to use guns. They got training. They got equipment. And they fought alongside these professionals to take back their country. Ultimately, your defense is up to you. You cannot delegate it to someone else. You need to get the tools to defend yourself. And we see people doing that throughout this country on a very, very large scale. We see gun sales are soaring in this country because people understand that we have a fragile infrastructure. We are sitting on the edge economically of another bubble that could burst at any time. Any number of things could happen. Any kind of scenario could happen. We could have the government coming along and setting up martial law based on false flags. So people are taking it upon themselves to train themselves, just like the villagers in The Magnificent Seven. One of the most powerful films, I think, to get people to understand what this is really about. You know, the Second Amendment is not just about protecting yourself against bandits, but against governments, against gangs that are out of control. That's what it's about. And you can see that in this movie. It's a wonderful movie. When you watch a film, it gets you at a visceral level. And it makes that argument because you get involved in people's lives. Or you can tell your wife there's a romance story in there. There's even some story there that, but watch it with your family. It's a great thing to watch with a purpose and talk about it. Talk about it with your friends. That's what this is all about. And we got some callers on the line. Let's go to Spence in Missouri. Spence? Are you still there? Spence? Maybe Spence isn't there. Let's go to Scott in Vermont. Scott?
Hello, David.
Hey, how you doing, Scott?
Good. About heroin and guns, you know, it seems like every other day there's a heroin bust here in Vermont. There's not a whole lot of people in Vermont, but a lot of heroin, apparently. And our governor, a very liberal governor, pro-abortion, pro-queer marriage, he was on one of those Sunday morning news shows lamenting about the problem and basically asking more federal help, I guess, but of course he didn't bring up the source of most of the heroin.
Yes. All
right. There's a website I found, CIADrugs.com, and we should, you know, just like we should culture jam the media like that courageous guy did grabbing a microphone and saying, investigate 9/11 right after the Super Bowl, we could, you know, say dare to keep the CIA off drugs, and websites like CIADrugs.com on billboards or message boards or standing by the highway with a sign.
Well, as Alex pointed out in his earlier report, you know, they were only supplying out of Afghanistan 7% of the world's heroin, and now that has shot up to like 90%, I believe, is the number, since we got there. And we're helping to guard the fields, we're helping to transport the material. We've seen this happening over and over again. Gary Webb broke this wide open in a series of investigative reports about how the U.S. government was involved in the crack cocaine trade with Freeway Ricky Ross and how they were involved with Nicaraguan Contras. And for his trouble, he was suicided. So this is something that has been around for quite some time. We had a report a couple of weeks ago about a, it's actually the guy who was a lawyer for the CIA. He's now getting around to writing his memoirs, telling us how proud he is of making the legal brief for waterboarding people, saying that that wasn't torture. He's the guy that's responsible for that. So the name of the book is Company Man. And if there ever was a company man, he's the company man. And of course, the CIA, that's a nickname for them, the company. But in that, there was an interesting admission where he was talking about how they worked with people in Hollywood, using them for intelligence, using them as spies in other countries. And he said, one guy said he would do it for $50,000 worth of cocaine. And this lawyer who wrote the book claimed that, tried to pretend that this was a very unusual request, that why would they ask us for cocaine? That's ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Everybody knows what the CIA is doing. We've exposed that over and over again. Thanks for calling, Scott. Let's go to Phil in Florida. Phil?
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me on. Hey, you had a guy call earlier that said that the power plant couldn't have been a false flag, but it could be a false flag to try to take away the guns or to make it so that you can't get a high-powered scope or something like that, because they're saying they're snipers. So,
exactly. We never know. It's very suspicious because of the way that it happened. It was clearly a professionally done event, and if it were terrorists, either they did so many things correctly, and yet they didn't get the desired effect of shutting down the power grid, or they were trying to do it as a false flag. And as I pointed out to him, as we've pointed out on Friday, false flag could be directed at legislators. It could be directed at law enforcement. It's not necessarily directed at the public. And we need to be careful, because now that they are making it public, we might see this used, as you mentioned, for pushing for gun control.
Right. And, you know, it reminded me a lot of, you know, the fact that they can't track them kind of reminded me of the WMD thing, where even though we had Iraq under surveillance, you know, somehow they managed to sneak the WMD out of the country, and that gave us the right to go to war there and have our president, you know, kill possibly a million collateral damage, whatever, and then to make fun of it at the national press for.
Yes.
To go running around looking underneath tables. I mean, just the most decadent thing that anybody could do when all those lives are taken.
And I want people to understand, too, that this is, it was Barack Obama who gave George Bush essentially a pardon, said we're not going to prosecute them for lying, for taking us to war under a lie. We're not going to prosecute them for waterboarding and people, even though we executed Japanese military who did that to American soldiers in World War II. We executed them for that. And yet our government did it. It was approved at the highest levels of our government, and nobody was tried for that. And Barack Obama not only let him get away with it, but he also gave him a pardon for it. So, you know, people who want to play this left-right Republican-Democrat game, they need to wake up and understand that it's coming from both of these sides. Thank you. Let's go to Phil in Florida. Phil. Hello, Phil in Florida. Are you there? Okay, sorry. Yeah, that was Phil. Let's go to Bob in Texas. Bob?
Hey, David, how are you this evening?
Doing good. What's
on your mind? Well, I had a couple of comments, and one was on the false flag of the sniper shooting out in California. Well, they may not have a patsy yet. I'm still waiting to see. You know, they can always come up with some details on an investigation. The NSA may be looking through data and phone records as we speak, and they come up with a patsy. So let's not count out a patsy at that point yet. If it is, it very well could be Tea Party radicals.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Well, the thing that it points out is just how vulnerable and how fragile our infrastructure is. And it points out how vulnerable and fragile our liberties are, because they could use any kind of an event, a real event, or even a staged event, to create martial law. We're that close to it. And actually, we've had the former technical head of the NSA said that we were this close, holding his fingers very closely together, this close to a police state. He said, we're now there. So what else could they do? They could do anything. We have to be on the lookout for that. We'll be right back. Take some more of your calls.
You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight filling in for Alex today. We've been talking to callers about the admission from a former mayor who belonged to Bloomberg's Mayors Against Illegal Guns group that, yes, in fact, it was about all-out gun confiscation from law-abiding citizens. That was the purpose of the organization, remains the purpose of the organization. And as we saw just today, we see the new mayor of Boston, who has just joined that group, holding a buyback because a 9-year-old was tragically shot by his 14-year-old brother. So now everybody needs to not only turn in their guns, but he says, we want to know who these people are. We want to know who has these guns so we can do something about it. Going to confiscate it? They're going to register it. They're going to have informants tell them about it so that they can confiscate it. Now, out of North Carolina, this is off the subject of guns, but this is still interesting. The NAACP requires marchers who are protesting North Carolina's voter ID law to show photo ID. Yes, that's right. The very thing that they're protesting, that you would have to show photo ID in order to legally vote somewhere, because our election system, let's admit it, it's fundamentally broken. It's very, very easy to game this either with illegal voters or with rigged voting machines. It is a broken system. We need to do everything we can to reform this. One of those things is to make sure that the people who are voting are legitimate voters and they only vote once. And one of the ways that you do that is with voter ID. I used to live in North Carolina. And in North Carolina, all you had to do was go up and give them a name and an address and they'd let you vote. And I've had friends tell me that they went there and were told that they had already voted and that deceased relatives at their house had already voted. These are the same laws that are in existence in many states in the union, but Eric Holder and the Justice Department want to single out states in the South and claim that it's racism if you ask somebody for proper identification at the voting booth. This is something that people do all the time when you're cashing a check, when you're doing just about anything. People are constantly, in America anymore, they're constantly asking you for ID. Why should voting be the only place where you don't have to show ID? And of course, the irony of it is that they're protesting the law that requires people to have a photo ID when they vote, and the organization that's protesting it, the NAACP, is requiring exactly the same form of identification in order to show up at the protest. Absolutely amazing. Well, they don't understand the meaning of irony, I guess. Let's go to one of the callers here, John in Michigan. John?
Hey, David. How's it going?
Doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing good. I want to talk about just everything. Like, I think it's all really connected to the Dutch-British like takeover, infiltration of our political system, you know? It may have started back when Roosevelt was taken out, but... I just think all of it, like gun confiscation, importation of drugs, everything, it all relates back to the British royalty's whole, you know, world extermination plan. You know, they want to create this volatile atmosphere internationally. Even I've even heard something recently that, you know, the current administration is behind this whole Ukraine uprising. They're keeping it. They're creating this volatile environment where, you know, we could be on the brink of a thermonuclear war and not even really realize it, you know?
Well, it's known that George Soros is giving the leaders of the Ukraine money. And we had this embarrassing admission from a phone conversation of an American official this last week, essentially admitting the same thing. And it's very sad because the people of the Ukraine have a real legitimate gripe with Stalinist Russia. They want their independence very badly, and I think that the common people there want something very different than the leadership there. I think the leadership is being manipulated by America and by people like George Soros and other bankers to play this geopolitical game at the higher level. At the lower level, the people simply want independence, and so they need to go for independence. But I think that they realize that they're not strong enough on their own to do it, so they're kind of using the EU as a foil. It might be interesting if they did get into the EU, because these are people like Manuel Martinez, who just spoke at the Oregon meetings about gun control, talked to people about what he had experienced under communism. These people could really wake people up in Europe about the real threat. They've experienced it all. They've experienced the war of withdrawing food that Stalin used against them. He starved them out. He had four different prongs. He cut off the leadership. He co-opted the churches. He brought in massive amounts of Russian immigrants so that he could divide and conquer the people. And then he cut off their food. Does that sound very familiar to you?
Yeah.
Sounds like what we're doing here right now, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And I was thinking, you know, Alex, you've had Lyndon LaRouche on before, but he might be someone interesting to get on as of recently. He's had some really strong opinions and really good viewpoints on this whole organization of the, you know, Dutch-British takeover of our education system, everything, you know?
Yeah.
It just teaches us more to be like animals, and we're not taught to be humans almost.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. My wife got a master's degree in education. When she was taking classes, she had to read B.F. Skinner's book, Beyond Freedom and Dignity. B.F. Skinner hated the idea of freedom and dignity. He was adamantly opposed to that. He thought that we were simply animals that could be controlled by behavioral modification. And he talked about things like, you know, negative conditioning and positive operant conditioning. What you experience when you go to the airport and you submit yourself to being fondled and handled illegally by the TSA, you're then immediately rewarded by allowing you to get on the plane. You can now go fly. That's exactly what they do to train dogs, and they do that to train dolphins. I've said before, we need to tell them, thanks for all the fish, but so long. I'm not going to be your dolphin anymore. It is conditioning. They're conditioning people in the schools deliberately. It's planned. That's what they teach the teachers. how to condition the kids. And that's what they're doing to people, even though they don't realize it, when they're going through these security theater things at the TSA. And it is simply theater. They've admitted, as of 2011, they had internal documents that were leaked as part of the disclosure of John Corbett's lawsuit against them. The government mistakenly posted these documents on pacer.gov showing that they knew in 2011 that there was no threat at either airports or airplanes. And yet at the very same time, they were threatening to turn Texas into a no-fly zone because we had state legislatures who were trying to put up a bill that would stop the illegal use of hands, if you want to put it in football terms, of the TSA, a violation of our Fourth Amendment, a violation of probable cause, something that should affront the freedom and dignity of everybody. But they want to remove those things from us so they can treat us like animals and condition us along those lines. Well, thank you, John. Let's talk to CC from Oklahoma before we run out of time. CC.
I just wanted to invite everybody in FEMA Zone 6 to join us at the Oklahoma State Capitol in Oklahoma City for a legalization of marijuana day. There's already 1,400 attending on the Facebook event, and I've shared it on the PrisonPlanet.tv Facebook and as well as the InfoWars Social Networking Coalition on Facebook. And
well, that's
join
good.
Join us here at the Oklahoma Capitol. We've got a big crowd of several legislators that are going to be speaking on the stance.
That's good. You know, the war on drugs is something that the government is doing. As we mentioned in that report that Alex had before, our government is the biggest, is in control of Afghanistan, and the supply of heroin went from 7% of the world's supply of heroin to 90% once we established control there. We have seen over and over again how the CIA is involved in the illegal trade of drugs, and yet they have used this for decades to take away our civil liberties and to start the militarization of the police. Now they really don't need that. Now they're starting to pull back. They're starting to allow various states to legalize marijuana because they've got something that's even bigger and even better, and that's their war of terror that they are enacting against us. And they're militarizing and the police here in this country and getting ready for martial law in every way possible. What we have seen from the Obama administration is laying down an infrastructure for tyranny, a legal justification for it that they're trying to put out there, as well as equipping people, as well as building their attitude. They're training the police that we are civilians, that they're acting like they're military. They're talking about putting boots on the ground. They're using every bit of training that they have been using abroad. It's almost as if we took a pit bull and we trained it to be aggressive over and over and over again. And then we're surprised when that pit bull starts to aggressively attack people on the streets randomly. That's what is happening in this country now. That's what the militarization of the police is about. It's really not anymore a federal government. It's a feral government. They are getting out of control. They need to be pulled back. One of the ways that we keep this from getting violent is by having a deterrence of legally owned guns by law-abiding citizens and sheriffs and peace officers who will stand on the Constitution. Well, that's it for today. Join us tomorrow. Alex Jones is going to be here live at 11 Central, noon Eastern time. Don't miss it.